Prophet Isaiah talking about this glory. He saw the glory. I believe it's the 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. He said, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? He that is glorious in his apparel." Glorious in his apparel. How is he traveling? In somebody else's strength? No, he's traveling in his own strength. "I that speaketh in righteousness, mighty to save." Just about saved. Brother, he says, "I speak in righteousness and I'm mighty to save." Our Savior, Isaiah saw him as a strong man, and he said, "He is glorious in his apparel." Isn't that a way he appears to you tonight? Glorious in his apparel. Why? Because he is our strength. He is our Lord and our God. And Isaiah went on to say, or Jesus said through the prophet, "I looked and there was none to help." You don't help the Lord. That's what makes us different from every other order of people on the face of this earth. Brother, the Lord doesn't need any help. You and I need help, and he helps us. But the Lord doesn't need any help. He said, "I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. My own arm has brought salvation, and my fury it have helped me." He said, "I trod the winepress alone, stained my garments with the juice of grapes." You know what the background of that thought was? When they brought together those grapes out of the vineyard, they had a big vat that they took and they put their grapes over in that. And because you would mar up, you couldn't walk down through there by yourself. You'd fall down. So they put their arms, the historians tell us that they hooked their arms together. And they went backwards and forwards through that wine press, tromping the grapes, the juice out of those grapes, you know. But Jesus said, "I trod the wine press alone. There was none to help." No wonder Isaiah said that he is glorious in his apparel, because he was, because he obtained it by himself, and he didn't need any help. And he didn't, there was none to help. Now this is grace, brother. That's salvation by grace. Then, in the wonderful prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross, this shows more glory than the firmaments, the things that David saw. But you know, he said in the 17th chapter of John, there, when he began that prayer, he said, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, saying, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh." You know, it wasn't anybody. If it was Jesus' purpose here and God's plan to save everybody, he had power over all flesh. And that doesn't mean just human flesh. That means animals, fish, birds, and everything else. He has power over all of it. "I have power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And that's what old Baptists believe. You know, it's humbling to me, brother. I don't live in the shadow of the capital here of the United States like you do. I just come here on a visit. But I tell you what, it inspires me every time I come to know that things are different on the hill today than there was when these old churches began to be formed around in the country there. Those people that sat in the White House then, brother, I had some testimonies of some of them that named some of these churches. How much they meant to them and how much the faith of the people of God here in this area meant to them in choosing and causing the decision that they made. It's different up there today. But it isn't any different in heaven, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus said, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And this is life eternal, he said, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, I have glorified. Here's that glorify again. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. If he hadn't have finished the work, then he wouldn't have been glorified. But my brother, he said he finished the work. And in finishing the work, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, he said, glorify thou now me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. You believe he did? You believe he heard his prayer? I tell you what, if he hadn't, heaven wouldn't have received him back up into glory. They saw him there in Acts 1:11 go out of their sight. The angels came and said, why stand you gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus whom you see going away, in like manner he's coming again. What's he coming for? He's coming to get his bride. He's coming to get every one of his little children. Every one that make up that. You know, he didn't quit. In the 23rd verse of that 17th chapter, when he prayed to God of John, he said this, I and them. Here associated him with his people. If he hadn't associated with his people, he wasn't a Savior. I and them. He's talking about his family. The elect of God. I and them, and thou and me. That they may be one in us. And that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And he said, oh, Father, I will. And I believe tonight with all the power that is in me to preach to you. I believe that God did just what Jesus prayed for. For in the 24th verse, he said this. Father, glorify. Let me read it. I used to quote all this, but I... Father, I will, yeah, that those whom thou hast given me out of the world, this is verse 24, that they may be with me, that they may behold my glory, for thou lovest them for the foundation of the world. And you know, that's something for God's children to go to bed on. That's something for you to rise up on. He said, O righteous Father, no, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You know what Jesus is saying? He already said he loved you as he loved them. And you can't separate. Paul asked the question, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, persecution, famine, naked, peril, sword? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that knows. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height or death, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Are you sure? Is that anything that you'd take any less for tonight? Is that where your hope is? And you don't ever let anybody make fun of your hope. Because if you've got hope, some people say, if I had hope, wouldn't have. If you've got hope, you've got everything. And that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. So we're not ashamed of it, and thank God for it. Thank you again for being with you and your prayers and all that's made this a sweet and delightful place to be. I felt the presence of God, and I thank God for the privilege of being here. Come on. Come on, brother.